Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the comfort and support with a new mattress from Serta. Find the perfect mattress for a deep and restorative night's sleep. Take control of your sleep and save big money on Serta mattresses now at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Slash Filmcast After Dark, the after show where we talk about a variety of random topics that didn't make it into the show. This After Dark, we're going to talk about New Mutants, or The New Mutants, I believe is the name of the film.
Yeah.
Before I get to that, though, we're going to pull back the curtain a little bit on the Slash Filmcast.
Pull back, dude.
And talk about something else before we get to The New Mutants, which is just, Jeff, you brought up the idea that we would talk about, we maybe would have a special like 600th episode, because we're on episode 595 right now of the main podcast.
Tick-tock.
And in January, we're going to have the top 10, the episode 600. And you said, hey, maybe we should do something special. I personally, you know, don't have much energy to do something special for the 600th episode. It's going to coincide probably with our top 10 movies of 2020 episode, which I think is fine. The question for me is, should we do a top 10 of 2020 episode?
Because it's such a lot of movies.
Well, it's not that there's not a movie. It's just such a weird... thing is, like, I'm getting some screeners right now, but it's like, most of the time, you know, 90% of the movies in our top 10 you can actually watch.
Sure.
And that might not be true for my list this year. There might be some movies that, like, have only been in film festivals or that I only get via screener form.
Well, why don't you just not put those movies on your list?
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally fine doing a top 10.
Sonic the Hedgehog? Like,
that's my 1 through 9. And then number 10 is New Mutants.
It's a weird year. But anyway, I didn't know if you had anything specific in mind, Jeff, like, because you texted us, you were like, hey, maybe we should do something special. And I'm like, what, like, when you think of something special or something cool, like, is there anything specifically that comes to mind? I'm just curious.
No, I mean, I don't have any good ideas.
It feels like we just did the 500th episode, even though that was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But we didn't
do anything for 500.
Yeah, we did, dude. We did a whole freaking thing, man.
We did?
We did top 10. Okay, now we're definitely not doing something for 600. You don't even remember what we did, dude. We had like voicemails people emailed in.
Oh, yeah.
We did our like top 5 movies since the podcast came out, shared our favorite moments. Okay, Jeff, we're definitely not doing anything now. Okay, just because you said that, okay?
Just out of spite.
Okay. You know what's really funny? The funniest part about this?
What?
And I'm not exaggerating. I sent that text because I remembered us not doing anything for 500. I thought, well, we should do something for 600 because we didn't do anything for 500.
Wow. Like, I mean, basically, I put a lot of work into that 500th episode.
No. I'm sure everyone appreciated it.
That's great, Jeff. Thanks.
What are you calling out for ideas now, Dave, about what we
No, I'm specifically not, because Jeff didn't even remember the 500th episode.
We're not even doing a 600 episode. We're just going to go from 599 to 601. That's how mad Dave is.
We'll go like from Windows 8 to Windows 10. It's going to be... No, we could do a 600. It's just going to be another episode. It's fine.
Yeah. Why is it the top 10? Yeah.
Why do we need to do a special thing every 50 things, you know, every 100 things, Jeff? Doesn't make any sense. So, completely arbitrary.
I'm glad I'm not married to you, Dave.
You know, Jeff, the feeling's mutual. All right. Well, anyway, now that we've got that out of the way. So, at this point, our tentative plan right now for 600th episode is just do the top 10 of 2020.
I mean,
it'll probably be a different kind of top 10. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we should do that. I mean, if that's the question, is whether we do a top 10 for 2020, yeah, I think the answer is yes. Yeah.
Yeah. There are movies. We saw
them. Yeah, we watched movies. We did shows about movies.
I recall. There's a whole podcast about them. Yeah.
All right. All right.
They weren't the movies we wanted to talk about, but they're still movies.
So true. So true. Speaking of movies we don't want to talk about but are still movies, The New Mutants.
the best segue we've ever done, by the way.
The New Mutants is an X-Men film that came out, that was supposed to come out in April of 2018.
Wow.
And it was delayed multiple times for various different reasons. Like it was supposed to come out the same weekend, and then there was one weekend, and then like Deadpool moved to that week, so it had to move. And then Disney bought Fox, and then so it had to move again. And then coronavirus happened, so it had to move again. And it moved so many times that people started speculating whether or not this movie actually existed. Maybe it was an elaborate money laundering scheme. You know, maybe
they were just waiting for Anya Taylor-Joy to get hot from Queen's Gambit to release it.
Yes, I think you meant career-wise hot in that case, right? And so, maybe it was an elaborate marketing exercise. Like, can we get people interested in a movie that doesn't really exist? the movie has been embroiled in a couple controversies. One of the characters, played by Henry Zaga, originally in the comic book,
Sunspot
was a black character who had to like battle against racism, and that was completely kind of like whitewashed, quote unquote, for the film. The director said you should go see this movie in a movie theater at a time when coronavirus was tearing through the country.
By the way, in casting Henry Zaga too, the director Josh Boone was like, he didn't even care about the racism.
Yeah, he's like, the racism didn't interest me, which is, you know, it's his prerogative, but at the same time, it's our prerogative to say he didn't make a good choice. Because they replaced it with such an interesting backstory instead of that.
Well, that's the problem, is that, the character is just dumb. It's not even, there's nothing there, right?
Yeah, and so... So anyway, there's been some controversies between the pushing the movie back and the movie coming out in theaters. This is one of those movies that, like, I guess studios said, hey, this is not high stakes enough that we want to actually save it until COVID isn't a thing. Right. But it's high stakes enough that we think it might drive some people to the theater. And I guess that was the reason why it was released.
Mm-hmm.
So it's had a rocky road to the theater, right? And finally to video on demand to our homes. And we should say, we're probably just going to spoil this thing from the top. So if you care about that kind of stuff, don't listen to what is
about
to come.
Maybe don't see this movie, or at least wait until it's cheaply available to you.
Cheaply available, streaming on Disney Plus or Hulu or whatever.
Yeah, or something.
Okay, so after all that, you know, a lot of bad press around the movie. My question for you, Devendra: did the New Mutants deserve all that bad press, or is it actually a pleasant surprise?
I don't know if anything ever deserves bad press, but this is not—it's not a terrible movie, but it is immensely boring, and that's kind of that's kind of like a shame, because I like this cast. I love Maisie Williams. I love Anya Taylor-Joy. I love Elise Braga. Like, these are, you know, actors that I always will check out whatever they're in. I am an X-Men fan. Like, despite us being very Avengers heavy, you know, for the past over the past decade, I guess, X-Men is what has always been. It was the first comic series I truly loved. It was the one I grew up with. I know those characters. I don't really know these New Mutants characters much, but I've always appreciated things being connected to the X-Men universe. And even then, like, this movie doesn't really do much with all of that. In many ways, it feels like a return to a bit of X1 and X2 of the very kind of internal movies, a quieter superhero movie that's really focusing on personal conflicts, which I'm fine with. I think X1, you know, that the action in that movie doesn't look good. The set pieces don't look good anymore. But I think the drama between the characters feels legitimate, you know, these characters who are out of place and, you know, outcasts of society. So that always felt real to me. The thing with
X1, obviously, you're talking about the first X-Men film directed by Bryan Singer, is you have Hugh Jackman, who wasn't well known at that point.
Yep.
And this wasn't
known at all. He was a non-star.
This was like the role that would define his career, right?
Yep.
And he was just so charismatic in that film, right? Mm-hmm. Like this, he held the entire film together, and he was the emotional core of X-Men 1. Mm-hmm. And you just don't have that. Like these actors are all talented, mm-hmm. but none of them, and especially the protagonist, is not enough to really make you engage with this movie on a deep emotional level. Yeah. Unfortunately,
Well, I think the problems are worse than that. I mean, I think it is. What do any of these characters want? Mm-hmm. Like fundamentally, what are they trying to do? They're in this place. I mean, you said we're spoiling everything from the top. So
I
think that ultimately you find out that the teacher lady is trying to turn them into killers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So the same killers from the movie Logan, by the way, that footage I believe is from Logan.
Right. Mm-hmm. So why do we not have any type of training them to be killers stuff? You know, right? There's nothing.
Well, I think she's assessing their potential to be murderers.
Oh, only the boring parts then. We'd include the boring parts.
She's doing the research, you know?
So yeah, she's doing the research.
The idea here is you could have had a movie about a team of young wannabe X-Men that find out they're not being trained to be X-Men. Yeah. They're being trained to be killers.
Correct. Right? Do an alias.
But instead what you have is a movie where we're in therapy to be X-Men.
Yep.
And we find out we're in therapy to become killers. Like that's literally the movie. The movie is like kids hanging out in a therapy ward.
It's very Breakfast Club at times. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's just nothing. None of them want to leave. None of them want anything. There's nothing that anybody wants. Mm-hmm. There's no antagonist until the third act, when obviously it must be the lady, because she's been acting shifty and there's literally no one else in the plot. Like,
well, also all the, I kind of like the idea of all the spooky things happening are kind of rooted in the main character, but yeah, it doesn't really do much with that. It is funny how this movie was being sold as like, what if we did an X-Men horror movie? Right. Right. That's interesting. Nothing about this feels like a horror movie. It's just
not a horror movie.
I actually liked some of the horror elements. So I'll say I was mixed on this film. I didn't hate it. I thought
I also didn't hate it. I agree with Devendra that it's worse than hating it. It's just a nothing burger. Mm-hmm. It's just it's a complete. It's bland. It's not bad. It's bland, and that's I think worse.
I like the concept, right? Which is that hey, these kids are kind of discovering their own powers. They have some teen drama, and they are kind of encountering these horrific things. It's kind of a slow burn psychological horror film. Horror thriller, whatever you want to call it. But there's some really severe problems with the execution, right? One of them I already mentioned is just, I think the protagonist is just not interesting enough to tie the whole film together. Mm-hmm. And I think the side characters are way more interesting, right?
Yeah,
just I'm more interested in learning about what they're going through, what their story is, than the protagonist. Another thing is just the way the movie is designed, like from a production design standpoint, is weird. Because you have this massive school and like, or this massive facility,
hospital,
whatever the hell. And there's like five kids in it and one employee. And it's just like, why? You would never design it this way if you were actually doing it, right? And they probably chose this location because they liked the feel of it, but it makes absolutely no sense. Or have it at this location, but have like way more people there, right? Like have it plausibly look like a facility where like there would actually be a number of human
beings. This was Medfield State Hospital, by the way, which they use for Shutter Island. So like this is a thing that has been creepy in other movies.
Mm, yeah. Yes. And it just is like, it feels so empty and as a result, not dynamic and boring. And so I just think that just in executing the film, having this huge cavernous space, I'm not thinking, oh, it's so scary that they're in this cavernous space. I'm thinking to myself, why are they in this cavernous space? Like it makes no sense at all, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I agree. You keep waiting for there to be something else about this place. And I do not understand why there's no like cool danger room training sequence. There's no them trying to master their powers. Literally all we get is breathe and say control over and over.
Let's just chill. Like, let's chill with some mutants.
It's the weirdest decision that just steals any kind of, interesting stuff. And I get it. Okay, well, we're going to do X-Men. We're going to do as a horror movie instead of an action movie. Mm-hmm. So we don't do action-y cool stuff. But it's like, there's not really any horror stuff in it either.
Well, I thought some of the cool horror moments, the kind of jump scare thingies, are kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, the dudes with the smiley faces on them. I thought that was like, huh, that's kind of a unique design. I haven't seen.
Are we to
like
believe that.
That
those are the actual dudes that messed with her as a like? Are they coming out of her?
I think it's like a projection. It's like a psychological projection, is my sense.
Yeah.
Also, are we to believe that our main character killed her own dad?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, because she doesn't really reckon with that at any point.
No.
It sounds like, yeah, good drama.
Which, by the way, I think, like, we all, that's another problem with the movie, is, like, I think we all as the audience figured out probably within 3 minutes that was what happened, right?
No, totally. Yeah. I mean, obviously.
And it takes her the whole movie to figure it out, and that's just kind of a rough spot to be in when the audience knows what the main character spends the entire film figuring out. Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Also, you guys mentioned Sunspot being problematic. Sunspot was always one of my favorite X-Men characters in the comics. I loved Sunspot. Primarily because when I was a kid, the look of Sunspot, like that,
it was great.
When
design.
He sunspotted up, and there was like these black dots all around him of various shapes and sizes, and he was completely black from head to toe. That look was so iconic for me, and they just whiff on it completely in this movie. It could have been really awesome visually, and they just go with this generic like Human Torch thing, and it's so disappointing. I think they actually got Ilana Rasputin.
Yes.
She looks cool. Like that arm and the sword. I think that all visually is kind of neat. I think the Rain character, Maisie Williams character, is terrible. Like
she's a wolf.
It's a bad werewolf movie that they're doing. And then Cannonball is completely wasted in this movie too. So
is that that's the guy who can fly and go real fast, right?
Yeah, like he's fast
but
as
he
a cannonball.
He can't stop himself. The worst power. Just like, I can go in one direction until I hit something. Yeah.
We should also point out that there was some amount of controversy with the Anya Taylor-Joy character spouting off like racist lines against the protagonist.
Sure.
And you know, on the one hand, she's not the hero, nor is that behavior exalted in the film, right? Mm-hmm. She's obviously a damaged person who is an asshole. And so I don't mind, in general, movies depicting racists as assholes. But I do think that I can understand anyone who's bothered by a film that just like, hey, let's just sprinkle in some racism just for some color. You know, like,
that'd be fun.
Add a little racism. That'll make it a little more interesting.
It's there specifically to make her an asshole.
Yes.
So, I mean.
But I guess I would say, like, there's ways to make someone an asshole without the racism. You know
I agree. I'm not going to disagree with that. But you know, it functionally is there specifically
I agree.
to highlight
there's nothing inherently wrong with it.
Yeah.
But also, if you had a problem with it, it's like. Yeah. I understand because it's like there's other ways they could have done it without using the hurtful words. And, you know, I don't begrudge anyone who feels like they could have done it a different way.
It's just like in particular when the director's saying, I didn't care about the racism, you know, or the color issues because Sunspot is such a cool character. And that could have been a really interesting role for somebody. Yeah. And instead,
it's just a bummer to do the whitewashing. Yeah. And also one of the characters is very racist. You know, that's kind of a double whammy.
Yeah. Don't just like dismiss like, oh yeah, I was racist. No big deal. Basically. Or I was like, I was okay with the racism of not casting appropriately. But anyway, that's annoying to me. Yeah.
And honestly, the whole point of the New Mutants in the comics was like how multicultural they were.
Yes.
It was kind of like the point. Yeah. So,
which, you know, all the characters have different accents, you know, in the movie. And, you know,
one person of color. In, yeah. Like as a lead. Yeah.
So the movie is that kind of going for it.
Mm-hmm.
I
appreciated how small the film was, right? Like it tried to be really small. And I was like, oh, this is great. This is great. Finally, a superhero film that doesn't end with blue beam in sky. It's great.
Right.
But then it succumbs to temptation.
The beams,
and instead of blue beam in sky, there is demon bear in sky. Basically,
big bear in room.
Big bear in room. And it's like, oh, wow. So we're going to have like a heavy CGI mess at the end, just like we do at every other superhero film. That was kind of disappointing. You know,
and also,
I will say the demon bear looked pretty cool, though.
It looked cool, but it was an unsatisfying. There's nothing satisfying about everybody teaming up to defeat the thing that your friend had created. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's
rather than beating the villains. Yeah,
it's like Suicide Squad all over again. You know, like the only reason those Suicide Squad people had an enemy was because they formed the Suicide Squad.
right.
So. Right. Kind of the same thing. Kind of the same thing there.
Yeah. I think what's most disappointing about this, by the way, is I don't know if you guys have watched the Runaways show on Hulu, but that's a show that's been around for several seasons now, and I genuinely like it. And Runaways was a book that was about a group of kids who discover that, you know, their parents actually are supervillains, and some of them have powers, and they kind of go off on their own and try to like figure out a way to combat it. The show is a TV show. It's low budget in a TV show way, but they still manage to do like epic scenes and big powers and cool things. And it is kind of shocking that, yeah, a 90-minute movie couldn't really touch what a Hulu show is doing right now.
Let me ask you guys this question. How much money do you think the X-Men film franchise has made worldwide to date?
God, just I don't know. Give me a billion?
The whole franchise?
So, yeah, the whole franchise. Every 13 movies. 13 movies.
Wow, it's probably got to be more excess of a billion then.
Yeah, excess 1.5 to 2 billion.
1.5 to 2. Davinder's guessing 1.5 to 2 billion. Jeff,
I'd probably be in that place as well. I mean,
Yet again, you guys reveal why I always win the summer movie wager
because you answer ahead before of time us. Before we. Yeah. Yeah.
The answer is $6.083 billion.
Wow, yeah, that's right. Billion. Yeah, sure. Wow.
Massive, massive success story in terms
but
of like, the
think
franchise.
We've reviewed the last few X-Men movies. Like, what happened? Guys, like
well,
between
okay, hold
Apocalypse,
on, hold on.
Yeah.
Okay, Apocalypse was bad, and Dark Phoenix was not
great. I didn't even see Dark Phoenix. That's how
did
bad
we
that.
Dark Phoenix, I forget.
No, we never did. I actually watched it recently, and it wasn't great. I think the critics like savaged this movie, and I felt like it wasn't as like
Dark
Apocalypse
Phoenix
was
not as bad. Yeah,
Apocalypse was garbage, but I actually thought Dark Phoenix, like, you know, at least he had an idea there that he was trying you know. Anyway,
it was more cohesive and competent, by the way. But I'm not gonna let you escape this because if you go back and listen to our review of X-Men Apocalypse, I believe it was both of you guys giving that movie a pass. So.
Did I give it a pass?
Never gonna
let
me down.
I don't know. But okay, yeah, Devendra. Yeah. But Devendra, yes. We've also gotten in the last 4 years Deadpool 1 and 2, which I think were pleasant diversions, as well as Logan, which I think is a genuinely good film. I know Jeff wasn't a huge fan of it, but Logan,
incredible film. I love Logan. Like, Wolverine is the character I love the most from the core X-Men. So that movie is the ultimate fruition of everything I wanted from this franchise, but it's a side story, right? It's not connected directly to any of the mythology or the timelines happening right now. And listen, like, I probably don't want to see anything else from Bryan Singer anymore, given all of his bullshit. But I genuinely love X1 and X2, X3, take it or leave it. But those two films, Days of Future Past, First Class, like,
I
that
like
is
Days
a
of
solid
Future Past,
run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying is, like, it's kind of a bummer that this is the way the franchise is going out. Like, we're not going to see X-Men in movies again, probably for at least several years.
Well, it may end up being part of the new
I was going to say that.
Yeah, it might be part of the MCU, but Kevin Feige has said like it's not going to be for a while. Right?
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a while, and it's just kind of a bummer that this kind of iteration of the X-Men ended with this movie.
It breaks my heart. Yeah.
It's just kind of like, "Oh, all that $6 billion and some really genuinely great stories and memorable characters and great casting." And this is how it ends, you know?
Yeah.
So kind of a bummer, but also partially not necessarily the filmmaker's fault. Like, this movie was supposed to come out before Deadpool 2 and Dark Phoenix.
I mean, it still would have been a bad movie. So I don't think that affects anything other than the amount of money it would have made. But I've heard multiple stories from people, by the way, just about how Fox has been kind of shitty to a lot of the filmmakers who have helmed the series, especially like the guy who did, was it Gavin Hood, who did X-Men Origins Wolverine, which horrendous film, one of the worst films you can ever see. But I've heard stories from people who did set visits who were like, yeah, Gavin set up, you know, certain scenes this way, and he gets there the next day and the studio just redid the set, you know, or changed things around and he had no power over it. So I don't know if Fox has necessarily been good stewards of this franchise too, you know, just as a studio. So I hope maybe now under new creative leadership, maybe it could be rejuvenated a little. Yeah.
Really, it had some ups and downs, this whole thing.
Sure.
This whole
X-Men we'll always have Logan. We'll always have our R-rated Logan. Yeah.
Let me ask you, as we reflect on the X-Men franchise, like any high points or low points? I would say X2 definitely a high point.
Yeah. X2, a film I saw in college, actually with our colleague, Angie Han. I distinctly remember just getting hyped up for that movie. That trailer was fantastic. The trailer had like, what was it? Music from the Planets. It was just
it
such
had one
a
of
well
the most effective opening action sequences.
Yes.
That still holds up to this day.
So that Nightcrawler sequence.
Nightcrawler.
Yeah. In the White House.
Great sequence. You already talked about Logan. I like the R-rated X-Men movies, like Deadpool. It's just like, oh, here's what we can do with this universe. Because by the time Deadpool came out in 2016, we'd seen so many superhero films that were all fairly formulaic. And here is a movie that had virtually no plot and survived basically just off of style and personality.
And because it was so unlike everything else we were seeing right now.
Yeah, I appreciated that. I love Logan, as you mentioned.
Deadpool seems a bit of a stretch to include as an X-Men film. But,
it is.
I mean, technically it is, but
he goes to the mansion.
Yeah, I know.
He gets X-Men.
I know.
And I really liked X-Men Days of Future Past. I know, like, that,
love
that's mixed,
Days of Future Past.
But I like the fact that they unified both casts.
Yep.
Like, that's such an ambitious thing to do. You have, like, one cast that's young that you introduced in First Class. You have a cast that's old that's been doing this since 2000. And you're going to put them both in one movie and have a plot that makes sense? Like, I just thought that that was so creative how they executed that. So
we were talking about time travel movies, and I feel like that is one that truly holds up. I still remember a review of that too. That was a ton of fun. First Class too, by the way, Matthew Vaughn getting into the action movie game, right? And just the cast of First Class, that new batch of X-Men coming in,
introducing
phenomenal.
Like Michael Fassbender and what's his name? Yeah. James McAvoy. The only thing that was a bummer about First Class to me, other than the fact that, like, obviously, like, the First Class people didn't really, they didn't have a great run.
Jennifer Lawrence went to get the hell out of there by the time they got to Dark Phoenix. She wanted to hit eject on that franchise.
That makeup effect probably was annoying.
But the thing about First Class is, like, you hear about this whole, like, oh wow, Charles and Magneto, like Xavier and Magneto were like best friends and this whole mythological thing. And in First Class, like that friendship lasts like about like 9 days. And it's like in your mind, you're like, oh, these guys were friends for like years, maybe decades. And then you find out in First Class, nope, they knew each other for like a couple weeks, like a fortnight.
The bros for life, bros for life.
You sound like somebody that's never been to camp.
Yeah, it's true. You know?
Friendships can be built very fast.
Any closing thoughts on the New Mutants? It's a sad
ending. The thing for me, even when we were talking about doing this as an After Dark, and then I watched the movie, I was like, I don't really have that much to say about this movie. It's just not. It's not. It's sort of nothing. It's not enough to even get riled about, you know. You're not
angry about it or anything.
Exactly.
You're just disappointed.
You're not as riled up as you were during our Run review.
I don't think it's as bad a movie as Run. I just think it's more boring movie. Run, I think, is a bad, insulting movie. And I think New Mutants is just, as Devendra said, it's just bland and boring.
All right. Well,
I think while we're at it, by the way, I do want to say to everybody out there, if you want to revisit some X-Men stuff and you have not seen The Wolverine recently, I think that movie really holds up. I think that movie is a ton of fun. There's some stuff, especially the third act, doesn't quite work. But if you can get your hands on The Wolverine director's cut, like the uncut version, madness. Complete, absolute madness. I love it so much. That bullet train fight still looks fantastic. And there's a point at the end of that movie, of that director's cut, where I believe Wolverine's like buddy character just like mows down ninjas with like a giant snow grinder, snowplow, and just paints a whole town red. It's so much fun. You should watch it.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. That wouldn't be the one I would suggest people watch. I'm a huge fan of
Logan. I think that is one that has been less beloved than it should be. basically.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. All right. Well, I think that's all. We'll wrap it up. Thanks for listening to the Slash Filmcast After Dark. Thanks to all of our patrons at patreon.com/filmpodcast for making this episode possible starting in 2021. That's the only way you'll be able to get access to episodes of the Slash Filmcast After Dark. So be sure to back us there again at patreon.com/filmpodcast. We'll see you next week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.